are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations about life, business, and so much more to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of business and leadership experience to add value to your day. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to be talking about quiet quitting. This is a topic that has come up. I personally do not like the term. And quiet quitting loosely has been defined as employees or students, people not going above and beyond, people not doing things that they're not paid for, setting boundaries at work, and really just sticking to what the job description is and not going above and beyond. So in the past, there was this hustle culture, and this newer generation, people post-COVID are not looking to do that. They're looking to get paid for what they do. I think during COVID, we all realized like, our jobs are incredibly fragile and we are replaceable. And so really, why would I do this for a company that could easily lay me off? Like you could be the best worker. And when it comes time for layoffs, that does not necessarily mean that that work will save your position. And so I'm super glad to hop into this topic. I'm going to pass it to my mom.
Wow. Quiet quitting. You know, when you think of the word quitting, you think of the word you walk away. And so that is absolutely a derogatory term. And I think the reason they do that is to shine a negative light on a, in my opinion, positive movement. And when I say that, I'm gonna reframe the movement. The movement is actually about me having what you trained me to have, which is work-life balance, right? That when I'm at work, I give 100%, I do what I need to do to accomplish everything. And when I walk out the door, I don't take my cell phone. It is not at my ear. You don't get a chance to call me at 10 o'clock at night. You don't get a chance to say, hey, I know that you are planning on going to vacation, but we need you in for the next 5 days. And so now that boundary and that designation, me saying my family matters. And yeah, it was connected to COVID. And it's not just youth that are doing this. When I say youth, I'm saying younger millennials or Generation X, whatever you want to call it. It's not. It's humanity is looking at this and saying, wait a minute, my life is valuable. What do I see in my future? How do I pull in the reins and do the best I can? See, quiet quitting sounds like I'm sitting at the job, you're paying me, because we used to call what some people are calling quiet quitting, RIP, retirement in place, right? Where you're retired, you're not doing your job, you're not doing anything, you're just taking up space. That is different, and that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about you're going in and you're doing the job. You are really fulfilling your mission, your vision, and everything that you have been assigned. You are doing the work. However, at the end of your day, you're not doing what I was trained to do, which is climbing up the corporate ladder and all of that for me. Okay, because I'm a boomer. I had to fight my way up, claw my way up. And I had to do not just my job, but three other jobs.
Especially as a woman, especially as a Black woman.
Yeah. And so when you think about all that, and to sit at the table, I had to know more, do more, be more, and all of that. So I structured my life in such a way that and Patrice, we've addressed it. We've talked about it, is that I had I don't call her a Gigi, but we had people to support me. We had people that, and I was always traveling and all of that to climb it, right? Right now, we're looking at a place that we said, okay, we can do virtual. I don't have to get on a plane all the time. So if my physical body's not required, why do I have to leave and get on a plane and go somewhere, right? I'm a speaker, author, and coach. So that's what I look at. If I'm not physically required, why am I opening myself to this? So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Be honest and authentic with yourself. If you're sitting at a job, this is a tip. If you're sitting at a job and people are paying you, then give them the service that they have asked you to provide. When I say that, not every work description has every item on it, but come to an agreement. And if you're doing three other people's job, you need to talk about it and address it. And don't just sit there and say, I'm not going to do it. But let them know. This is not, I mean, that's my recommendation, that you discuss it, because maybe they're, and then learn how to say no.
And there were times that, because I used to be a supervisor, and people would come to negotiate, like, hey, I'm covering 2-3 schools. And right now, you know, my pay, this isn't reflecting the mileage and all of these other things. And if we could make that adjustment, we would. But if nobody asked for it, it didn't happen. And so I think businesses, because you gave a tip for employees, and my tip is for businesses, that businesses are going to have to actually, we're going to have to shift to being more employee centered and balancing meeting the needs of people. And so my mom's big thing is people, productivity,
and profitability.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have good relationships with the people, because workers used to be able to treat employees like trash, and there really wasn't that much else out there. But now people are like, hey, I can work for myself. Like, I can trade crypto. I can do, like, people are looking at other opportunities, or there's so many people hiring that, like, you're not the only employer on this block, on this street. And so I think people are going to have to change the way that they're approaching employees. I mentioned on a TikTok that I think it has a lot to do with benefits as well, because companies used to offer pensions. And so staying with one company and, like, working really hard and giving it all you had and climbing that ladder, doing all those things, once you put in your 20 or 30 years, you were guaranteed a percentage of your salary for the rest of your life. And now, you know, most companies have a 401k where maybe they might match, but I can take my 401k and leave. Like, that doesn't mean that I have to stay. And I like how you talked about that the term quiet quitting, that it really is derogatory, and it's because I think what people are actually doing is setting boundaries, having priorities, putting the biggest, most important things into their life first, knowing that, hey, with this job, with these, you know, with these things, because I've also seen it talked about that it was for school as well, that students are realizing, why am I going to, like, you know, be so emotionally distraught and stressed out for this A when maybe I could get an A-, maybe I could get a B. And there's nothing wrong with that for my career path. Now, there are some career paths where your specific grades, that sometimes that matters, depending on if you want to go, I don't know, like, depending on what you want to do. But I remember being in graduate school, and my teacher told us, sometimes you're just going to take your B. Like, if you are getting work experience and you're doing, you know, because for my case, I had to do a practicum as well. So I did free labor. Like, I did voluntold hours. And then I also had a part-time job, and then also balancing friends and all those other things. The teacher was like, sometimes you're just gonna, like, you might get a B, and that's not going to be the end of your career. Like, you're still going to be a psycho, you know, you're still going to finish. But for graduate school, we couldn't get a C. Like, a C was failing. You'd have to repeat the class. But I like that people are setting these boundaries. We've had other episodes where we've talked about work-life balance and talked about boundaries at work. And I like how you said learning how to say no. And there's a way to do it that now everybody's different. So there are some bosses that you can be direct with and be like, that's not, you know, that's outside of what I have time for right now. What I used to do is if my boss was like, ooh, would have this pop-up assignment. Ooh, I need you to have this done by Friday. I'd be like, okay, well, these are the things that I have on my plate. And these are the deadlines for those things. And they were like, oh, because sometimes your boss doesn't even know what all you're actually doing, especially if you're not being micromanaged. And I hated being micromanaged. So it was like, I didn't realize that you were doing these things. Like, let's say if we can delegate that task to this person, and then you can get this done by this time. And if you need an extension, let me know. And so just being able to set those boundaries in a way that isn't going to have you, lose your job either.
It's about communication. It's about knowing what you want. If right now is an amazing time to elevate your career, because there are so many people that are looking for amazing, dedicated employees. Partners is what I call them, because the greatest value that any company has, the greatest resource that they have is people. Did you hear me? The greatest, I don't care if it's a church, I don't care if it's a nonprofit, I don't care if it's a profit, I don't care what kind of business it is. The greatest thing, resource you have is people. Even if you are selling on eBay and you are a solopreneur, the greatest asset you have is people, because guess what? Somebody got to buy your stuff. So that's it. So being customer centric, most people will teach you or tell you that customers are people outside the organization. I'm telling you that customers, the first customer, the first line of defense and support that any company should deal with is their internal customer. Because when you spend time, when you value, when you give benefits, when you find out about your internal customer will take care of your external customer. I see her hands.
I know. And let's talk about ways to show appreciation, because I think in the past, employers could get away with having employee appreciation dinner where we take you all out to dinner, but we're not also passing out bonuses. We're not also, you know, increasing salaries, and we're not sharing some of the profit, because I think as the agency becomes more profitable, I do think that companies should look at reinvesting in their staff, in their teams, because if you just keep those resources at the top and don't make sure that even down to the janitor, the cafeteria worker, if we don't make sure that people are taken care of. Because also it motivates everyone to do better. It's like, oh, wait a minute. When the company has access, we all get a percentage. And I've seen companies having more, instead of having this hierarchy structure where the employees get to own a share of the company and profits are shared in a more equal way. And I wonder if more models aren't going to pop up like that, because that actually supports, I think that supports the whole system in a much more equitable way.
Right. And then the thing that we need to talk about while we're talking about this term that is being used, this quiet quitting, is actual intentional refocusing of our lives, right? Because when a person is intentional, when I do work-life balance, what I said is it's actually balance is something that is not attainable.
Perfect balance.
Right, perfect. Maintaining this is not it's not something you can maintain for extended period of time. So it's intentional imbalance. So if you work in a company coming to you and saying, hey, during the month, I used to work for a government agency and I was in the financial realm. So we close at the end of the year. We know that September was one of the hottest months that And so me asking for leave in September because of my position and all the, that wasn't the right thing. Now, if an emergency happened, we deal with it. But however, we knew that wasn't a good thing. So, but my reason for saying that, in October, we're waiting for some things to happen so everybody can sit back and relax and kind of do it. Over Christmas is a quieter time. So look at the agency that you're working for. If you're working for an agency and all of their sales are around Christmas and you don't like to work during, look at your side of it and how that organization will impact you, and be honest when you come to the table, right? Be honest and let them be honest. This is what sometimes sitting across the table from an interview, especially a panel interview, they tell you all these amazing things. Oh yes, we love our partners and our organization, and we care about the people, and we have work life balance, and da 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 and da da da. And then the first thing they do when you are hired, they said, "Well, what do you mean you have vacation? What do you mean you're going somewhere? Well, you mean your children are important to you? You go and look at their games? Oh no, that is not going to work here." And you said, "But you said." So when you go to work for a company, do some research. Do some research and find out how other people are perceived in the company and what are they really saying? Not with their mouth, with their actions. And the same thing for you. What are you really saying? Not with your actions because you want a raise or you want a better job, but what are you really saying in your heart, in your head? Go ahead.
And I think being able to ask specific questions, because let's say taking a break around the holidays is really important to me, then I might ask, you know, so what percentage of employees take off during the holidays, especially Christmas, or how do you all manage time off around the holidays? How do you all manage unexpected leave or time? And sometimes people, because also you don't have to disclose that you're a parent. You don't have to disclose your marital status. Like, you don't have to disclose any of those things. Anything that you do disclose, because let's say I'm a single parent of 5 or 6 kids, the employer is sometimes gonna wonder, okay, what kind of support does this individual have? Not knowing that single parent of 5 kids might have more support than a married couple with one child. And so, but be mindful about what you say during interviews, because they can't ask you certain things, that's why they ask you. So tell me about yourself, because whatever you say during that time,
they can talk about.
they can talk about. And so I like that that people are looking at having some type of balance. If there are any questions about work-life balance, about quiet quitting. And once again, we do not like that term.
We believe
that employees should be setting boundaries. And I think employers should get to know, like, okay, what type of, okay, so right now employees are really burnt out. Because I've heard some situations where the employer just wanted people to come into the office, but coming into the office wasn't really required. Like that person, yes, like that's a big one where people will for real quit if you're like, you have to come into the office 5 days a week. It's like, but my job can be completed.
We just get this
remote,
right? But this is what I heard, and that's what I'm glad you brought that up, because I talked to someone recently, and they literally had to come into the office. Get on their laptop and attend the meeting. Do you hear me? They still weren't in a conference room. They had each person in the office on their laptop to attend a meeting that was virtual present. I was like, you got to be kidding me. She said, no. She said, and this is what happened. Employers, this is what happened. The frustration level of that amazing employee.
Yeah.
Went off the roof, because you know why? They have a commute that they have to do. So it wasn't the hour or 2 hours or whatever it took for the meeting. It wasn't about being in the office. It was about they are already amazingly productive. They are doing more than they have been asked to do. And to bring them in to sit at their desk and get on a call was actually a negative. And they stepped back and they started relooking at the organization. They started questioning their judgment about what they're doing. And so that's the key. The key is that. So this is what I'm gonna say is that quitting, quiet quitting, that term, we've already talked, we don't like it, right? So that term, don't pick up terms, be careful about assigning terms to things that are happening in your personal life. Don't give it breath if that's not the term you desire to use.
Because perception matters and what I say matters. Because to me, quiet quitting puts the blame on the employee and doesn't look at, wait a minute, this employer has been. So like, I think they said 98% of teachers have to buy their own school supplies. So like the school doesn't provide everything that they need. They don't pay teachers enough to be able. And so like the federal government, I believe some states are offering teachers where they can deduct, I think Virginia, it's up to $500. They just did something recently for teachers.
Right. Yeah, but let's pause on that. So all that means is that you still get a chance to spend your own money. Now they're just giving you, which is not, yeah. I'm not knocking it. Please hear me. But now you can write off more on your taxes. You're not fixing the problem. You're putting a Band-Aid on it. Now it's a cute Band-Aid. It has a picture on it, you know, and it has a $500 bill on it. But
that you can't necessarily redeem for cash, depending on your situation.
but it is a nice thing. So I appreciate the gesture that they're doing. Mm-hmm. But in Virginia, let's talk about Virginia, and in some counties in Virginia, they are literally increasing the pay of teachers and doing some things for because teachers. Because you know why? Teachers are not coming back. They're saying, look, we ain't taking this. This is crazy. Because what they're being asked to do has increased monumentally. And because of the breaks with the children that were at home during the time, there's a gap that they're helping the students fill. In addition to that, dealing with parents, and dealing with all of those things. So I take my hat off to teachers, okay? And to people who are providing caregivers, all of those things at any age, because at those points, that's a disconnect. Now, that same term has been put on teachers. You know why? Because teachers are saying, we ain't doing it. We're not being, because.
But I like, so there's a district that has required teachers to be out of the building by, I think Uncle Jeffrey.
Yeah, by a certain time.
By a certain time. Because.
Like early.
Because I think some of the unions and things were like, hey, you know, y'all are requiring they have to be there from 8 a.m. to, they're not leaving to 6, 7, 8, 9 p.m. And they're in your building doing work. You need to compensate them for this. And so I'm interested to see. I don't think this is a phase. I don't think that this is something that is going to come and go. I think this is the new norm. I think employers are going to have to do better. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to encourage employees to be careful about burning out for a job that will replace you in like half a second.
Okay. And maybe something we need to talk about is building additional streams of income. And the reason I say that is that when you look at an employer, like Patrice started off by saying, she said, we used to work for companies that had the pension and set us up and da, da, da. I love that. However, it gave you the sense of somebody's going to take care of you. That is over, O-V-E-R. So a lot of people have stepped back and said, whoa, because you're not providing me that kind of or level of care cannot. It's a 401k. I can move from place to place and gain momentum or work for another company. It's still the same 401k, you know, whatever. It's still, I can put leave my money in there and grow my own retirement, but it's at a higher level. So just keep that in mind. But this is what I'll, the last thing that I'll say is this. Anytime you're frustrated and you leave, I'm going to use that term, you leave, whether it be in a relationship, whether it be in a church, whether it be at a job or whatever, when you leave before you leave.
Like mentally, emotionally,
physically, yeah. You know, like you're not doing any of the work. That's wrong. And when you don't communicate any dissatisfaction, people don't read your mind. I was doing something recently. I think I talked about it last time. And I thought my doctor could read the fact I was in pain. I don't understand. I kept on saying I was in pain, but they weren't hearing me. So at one point, I made sure that, I mean, I intentionally wrote down some stuff. And because I didn't want them to miss it. And once I honestly dug in and said what I needed to say, they got it. They went back and did the research and they found it and they fixed it. Same thing at your job. If you love what you're doing, don't let other people frustrate you to move unless.
But that's the thing. A lot of people aren't doing what they actually love to do. I think that's a real thing. And so next time we are going to dive into streams of income for our YouTube viewers. That will be in a few weeks. I think October 6th, maybe, depending. Let's just give it till October 13th.
Yeah.
We'll be coming back live here for our listening audience. Hopefully things will just continue to flow seamlessly. But the next episode will be on streams of income. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.